Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Got to get something going to the basket. They go into Drummond, but it's a little behind him. He picks it up. He jams it. Andre Drummond throws it down. The ball split between two Kings defenders, and Drummond got it, and he dunked it.
Yes, the Sixers have been playing well, including that play right there. Again, Jack Ham, Dick Girardi coming up on Friday's show. Right now we turn to one of the class acts out there who does great work all the time, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Mark Logan-Rich.
Appreciate it so much. You too, Steve. Thanks so much.
Okay, so we saw today there was no news along the way. I think people thought there would be, but there was not, other than the lineup. What was your thought on the whole thing?
Well, as we are waiting, as of right now, on the Penn State, the subcommittee, the compensation subcommittee, to hold the public version of the meeting that's going on right now to see if they will address anything, if that's even what they're addressing. I made a joke to somebody else, if this is for a new head of neurosurgery somewhere, I will just die laughing. But it seems to me James Franklin wants to talk about this at some point. He's just waiting for the procedurals to conclude, and, you know, he's got three contracts with Penn State already, so he knows how these things operate. But he's been very consistent in the way he hasn't answered these questions, or the way he has answered these questions, actually, over the past couple of weeks, in that he always says he wants to discuss it. He will discuss it, that he has been, has maintained his loyalty and his commitment, and that he's demonstrated that over time and over his years at Penn State. And today, again, he brought up the point about capital spending, essentially the broad brush, like that, a broad umbrella about facilities that we say, but it encompasses so much more. And, he does dive into that on occasion. He mentioned it again today that there was a period of time that Penn State didn't spend any money, but before he got there, that the facilities had kind of been left to not to be updated or anything, and that puts programs behind. I remember in 2018, now the coaches caravan stop in New York, he brought up an internal study that had done. Again, this was 3 years ago, and there was an internal study that he had his staff do of the eight-year period before he arrived at Penn State that, according to them, according to their study, Penn State was second last in the Big Ten in capital spending on football. So this is so not new with him. I think, it's been a consistent theme of his for really 6 to 7 to 8 years. And I think as we get more into it, and once Penn State starts rolling out whatever commitment they're going to make, and with James Franklin, whatever commitment he's going to make, that will be the major talking point, is not just a contract necessarily for James Franklin, but an overall commitment and what that means for football.
Because I know his point is simple, that you have to ask yourself, what are you competing for? Are you competing to be a bowl team? Are you competing to win a conference championship? Or are you competing for the national championship? Now, I think if you poll the fans, they'll tell you right now, they want to compete for the whole thing. And I think that would be, I think that's a fair read on how the fans feel about it.
Yeah, and it's not a wrong thing for universities to decide what they want to compete in. A college football coach is going to say, and a program is going to say, we want to compete for national championships, we want to compete for conference championships, that sort of thing. But there has to be the commensurate backing behind it. Some universities just don't want to do it. That's fine. This is this really is part of the discussion that I think James Franklin has brought up again just for years, is where does Penn State want to fall on this spectrum? And if they want to fall on the spectrum where they're competing for in the Big Ten, competing for national championships, this is my list. This is my PowerPoint presentation of what we need to do, because this is what other programs are doing. We see it constantly. I mean, there are YouTube channels devoted to walkthroughs of, people walking through football facilities and basketball facilities swimming facilities, for goodness sake, athletic facilities across the country. I mean, I remember watching a couple of years ago the Northwestern facility being unveiled, and I'm thinking, can I move there? Is that like we rent a room or something like that? Can I cook a snack?
Right.
That's magnificent, That would be a phenomenal place to hang out, work out, and essentially live as a football player. So that is what he's asking. Where do we fall? Where does Penn State want to be? Because, what James Franklin is saying is, I know where I want to be. So where does Penn State want to be?
And it's interesting, because of basketball. Because on a basketball trip, mm-hmm. I've got more time. But I've seen a lot of these places.
Yeah.
I've seen Alabama. I've seen Clemson. I've seen Nebraska. I've seen Michigan, Ohio State, because of the basketball trips, because I've got time, Northwestern. And obviously a lot of money has been put into some of those places. There's no getting around. Now, the latest one was really a great piece of work by SI.com. Now, I would love to give you credit for writing it, but somebody else wrote it about what happened at Ole Miss. Now that we have in place Alston, being determined by the Supreme, anybody who had Alston plus +8 fell short. That was a shutout, 9-0. And anybody can get Sonia Sotomayor and Clarence Thomas to agree on anything, you must have a slam dunk case. But money is now going to Ole Miss athletes for being on the team and academically eligible. And you get a bonus of $2,980 every October 15th and that same number every March 15th. I mean, that's where we're headed with this, which also means along the way to compete recruiting-wise, Mark. Schools like Penn State have got to do that.
Yeah, I remember having the conversation when the Alston case was when that decision was announced, and I had a conversation with somebody else. Does this mean that programs can pay athletes to be eligible? I mean, that's an academic award, right? And that's essentially you're going to pay athletes. And then I didn't realize the number. I didn't realize that it was around that $5,900 is essentially the payment plan. That's another thing. So that's separate. That is entirely apart from what kids can make on their own through endorsements and NIL contracts. This is money that the universities, the athletic departments, are going to pay. The one thing from that story about Mississippi is they're paying for that through football ticket revenue. I think it's $2.5 million, if I'm not correct, or if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you're correct.
$2.5 million a year that they're paying out of football ticket revenue. That's the University of Mississippi. They are not going to be, they might be the first, but they are certainly not going to be the last in any stretch of the imagination. So, I'm sure athletic departments have been dealing with this. They've been trying to figure out how they can pay for this as well. And that is going to come to the Big Ten shortly. If Penn State is not doing that next year, I honestly would be surprised.
Well, I think from recruiting, with the way Ole Miss did it, because Iowa State is putting the money in a trust, right? So you're 18 years old, and they're going to put it in a trust, or they're going to give you the money up front. You're 18 now. Let's go back to when we're 18, right? Not now, okay? You know darn well they take it up front. I mean, and by the way, this includes walk-ons. Walk-ons will get the money as well. But the other part that is interesting about this is that because it's a bonus, it is taxable.
Right, exactly.
This is
as is all their NIL money, too.
That's exactly.
And that's just, yeah, that is, you brought up the recruiting. That now that is that's page one on a coach's pitch sheet. Come to me, as long as you maintain academic eligibility, $3,000. And the thing with Penn State is Penn State has a terrific facility in the Morgan Academic Center. It is essentially attached to the Lash football building. There's a hallway connecting, so they can go right between.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect university sales pitch and a recruiting sales pitch. I don't know that there could be a better one. Look at this incredible academic facility that is going to set you up for your future. There are all kinds of academic resources that we can offer here. And, oh, by the way, it is attached to the football building, so you have access to that at any time. And as long as you maintain academic eligibility or you make dean's lists or whatever GPA that they're going to use as a baseline, that's $2,900 that we can pay you a year. That's a win-win, and that you could do it through money, but then you also get to use that as your longstanding pitch, rightfully so, about graduation rates and sending people not just into the NFL, the NBA, or whatever professional sport you like, but into the real world where Penn State has, well, how many CEOs have graduated from Penn State, but a lot of them, a lot of successful people come from the football team.
No doubt. All right, so now football-wise, I feel like Penn State catches three breaks. Number one, depleted, they still win.
Yeah.
Number two, this is pretty much a 48-hour thing. So most of those guys are getting back. And number three, on a campus where it was running rampant, everybody's gone this week and went home because it's fall break. Mm-hmm. I feel like they caught a break on three fronts.
Yeah, I didn't think about the third part, but James Franklin did mention today that it does seem to be moving its way out of the roster. A couple of guys, he said there were a couple of players who caught it, later in the week or maybe afterward, but according to him, Sean Clifford is back to normal, should be back out of practice. Some of the other players who missed, the key players, the starters who missed, are going to be back out. So, you've got that at the right opponent at the right time. So as long as the illness winds its way through, and right, exactly. I had not thought about the student population being empty. So they got a campus, essentially an empty campus, so there's less chance of it recirculating or affecting players who hadn't had it before. As long as you can get through, you get through this week, then you're getting into a pretty good healthy spot. And meanwhile, Michigan State, loaded up with injuries, really struggling. There's a lot of players out for the last couple of weeks. Had Kenneth Walker, their standout running back, who was hurt last week, so his status is going to be up in the air. And to hear the stories about that Rutgers game after the game, it really gives you this sense of how just how what kind of mess coaches can go through in trying to put together a roster in normal times, much less when you've got a bunch of players getting sick and getting IVs, including before the game, that sort of thing. When you feel that you're going to have a walk-on as your starting quarterback the night before, so you completely change your cadences and probably your playbook and everything like that. And then, oh, by the way, you get Sean Clifford again. That is a roster management puzzle that I can imagine putting together. It's difficult enough in a regular week, but in that kind of week, that had to be something.
Believe me, watching it play out, it was stunning to watch it play out where Jack Ham and I are standing here on Thursday going, okay, this is, because Tuesday, Wednesday was kind of like a mixed bag, and all of a sudden they got to Thursday, and you're looking around going, all right. By the way, a salute to Canada Day. Christian Veau, 235, three touchdowns. Malik Mega caught a touchdown pass, 67 yards. Jonathan Sutherland picked off a pass. Theo Johnson caught a couple of passes, and Jesse Luquette had a couple of tackles for losses. Canada was able to bear fruit for Penn State on Saturday, Mark.
It's been a terrific recruiting run they've had for a couple of years going there. That's a really good eye for that sort of thing, of identifying talent, because that's talent that you have to wait on a lot. It was interesting. Malik Mega was available on a conference call today. As a really quick aside, he took a couple of questions in French. So, I mean, he switched between English and French just absolutely perfectly. I didn't understand a word he was saying in French. I think he said doctor in there somewhere. So I put it through. I was just curious. So I have a translating app that I put that through, and it absolutely garbled it. I think the word superbug came out in the translator, and I said, I don't think he said superbugs. I don't want to know what that means in the context of football. But and one of the things he discussed was, you know, he felt a little bit uncomfortable when he arrived at Penn State with English. I mean, he spoke English perfectly. I mean, you know, I know not a word of French, so
right.
I can't say anything like that. But, you know, he said he was just uncomfortable, maybe a little insecure about his English, which, again, was perfect. So that affected the way, that made him require more time to be comfortable with, like, their terminology. You know, football terminology, those things like that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that players coming from Canada who don't have as much experience, even if they're playing, like, he was playing Canadian football, some of the guys would come south. So it's a different game. Then he's learning different terminology, and if you feel uncomfortable with your English, it can take you a while. So the curve, that's an investment in getting Canada players from Canada, because then you're looking at additional ways that you have to develop these guys, and they maybe take a little bit longer. I hadn't considered that with Christian Bayou, but he did play that 1 year in the U.S. in Maryland as his junior year.
Yeah.
Before it's COVID, before 2020 was canceled. I thought that was going to be the big thing for him when he's coming in. It's like he hasn't taken a football snap really in a live game that counted in 2 years, and how would he respond to that? But so it never occurred to me that, oh, by the way, you know, coming in, maybe he had to deal with some of those similar things too.
Interesting.
The Canadian thing is really, really good, and they're calling themselves Air Canada now, which I kind of like.
Right. No, it's interesting. It depends on what part of Canada you're from.
Yeah.
For example, Theo Johnson is from Windsor, just over.
Yeah.
On the other side from Detroit. Well, English is the primary without question.
Yeah.
But Malik Mega's from Quebec City.
Those guys are from Quebec, yeah.
Yeah, from Quebec City. And guess what? You're from Quebec? You're speaking French.
Yep.
What's your thought on this week's game? You mentioned you alluded to Michigan State. What's your thought on this one?
It's an interesting, really interesting one to me, because the Michigan State's kind of got to put itself back together. After last week, we were sitting at the game, so I was not watching it. But the score updates were coming in, and 49-0 at halftime to Ohio State. I thought, goodness, I figured Ohio State would be able to throw the ball on them, but not to that extent.
Right.
So I find that to be a really interesting team at this point, with their injury issues. A bunch of guys on offense, including a couple of the receivers. Mentioned Kenneth Walker. And then defensively, they've just so susceptible to the pass, to being thrown on this year. I think I did see a stat, and I looked it up after the game, that they are the number of completions they've allowed is like overwhelmingly by far the most in the country this year. I think it was they were like 50 more. They've allowed 50 more completions than I think any other team. In the country, not just the Big Ten. So that is a real, real weak spot in their defense. So if you're looking at now, you've got Sean Clifford healthy, and you've got Christian Bayou, who's got a head of steam and a head of confidence. If you need to go to him,
right.
Michigan State, you feel an awful lot better about that this week, having had him play like he did against Rutgers. And you also feel good about Sean Clifford coming in. He's at full strength, and James Franklin said before he got sick last week that he thought that was his best week of practice of the year. If Sean's really feeling it and he wants to kind of get over the fact that his senior day essentially got ruined by the fact that he got sick, you can come out and put something on him. And, you feel pretty good about that, and I assume they're really scouting that end of Michigan State's defense. That's what I'm looking at, is can Penn State kind of follow up some of these other teams and really throw the ball on them?
My friend, always a pleasure to you and yours. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot
so
for your time.
To you too. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Mark Wolgenrich, SI.com, one of the absolute best in the business. We will come back more in a moment. Chris Soleri is going to join us to talk about Michigan State in the final half hour. We had choices. We could talk to Chris Soleri, or we could get some of the suit's greatest broadcast moments.
That would fill out a whole hour of the program, though.
We're going to go with Soleri as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. I think Steve every once in a while just sits there in the Sunbury Motors studio and hangs out just to see if I'm paying attention. We'll have a good Steve Jones Show on Friday, too. So if you're going to be doing any Black Friday shopping at home or Black Friday shopping on the road, make sure you're listening between 3 and 5. It'll be Dick Girardi. Also joining Steve will be Jack Ham. Obviously, they'll probably talk a little Penn State football and Penn State basketball there. That would make a lot of sense. It's a busy time of year when you have the crossover between football and basketball. And
yes, it is.
I said your vehicle goes from house to airport to Bryce Jordan to home, and that's about it.
Well, James Franklin, by the way, just so you know, has agreed to terms on a new 10-year contract to remain as the head coach at Penn State. Terms were approved by the Subcommittee on Compensation this afternoon by the Board of Trustees. Penn State's future is bright, James said. I'm honored to continue to serve as your head football coach. 9 weeks ago, the administration approached me about making a long-term investment in our football program. This prompted numerous conversations outlining the resources needed to be competitive at a level that matches the expectations and history of Penn State. What's most evident from those conversations is the importance of our student-athlete success both on and off the field. So James Franklin has agreed to terms on a new 10-year contract to remain the head football coach of the Nittany Lions through 2031.
10 years, you said?
Yes.
That's long-term commitment.
Well, this is why I've been telling people on the show over and over again as this has played out. I've talked about him going on the road, okay? Going to 5 high schools in Philadelphia in the morning, okay? Going to 2 games per Friday night, okay? And you know, I can tell you, okay, his base salary is $500,000 each year. Okay, his supplemental pay is $6.5 million. total guaranteed annual compensation. Okay. Then there's an automobile allowance, if applicable, is $7 million. Okay. There's a life insurance policy of $1 million each year. If he'll get a bonus if Penn State wins or ties for the division title, $150,000. If he appears in the Big Ten championship game, $250,000. He wins the Big Ten championship game, he gets a bonus of $350,000. If Penn State wins a college football playoff national championship game, he gets a bonus of $800,000. Runner-up college football playoff national championship game, $500,000. College football playoff final four, $400,000. Appearance in one of the four bowl games that are part of the annual college football playoff rotation, but not one of the two national semis. No, it's a New Year's Six game, $300,000. Any other bowl game, he gets a $200,000 bonus. If he is voted Big Ten Coach of the Year, he gets $100,000. If he's voted National Coach of the Year, he gets $100,000. Supplemental pay includes, okay, a per year allowance or vehicle through a dealer car program of $10,000. He also gets, of course, all the benefits, health, welfare, insurances, things like that. He also is allowed to use 55 hours per calendar year a private aircraft for personal use. Now, that's taxable, by the way. Now the buyout. Okay? The buyout. If you were to leave between now and April 1st, it's $12 million. If it goes from April 2nd to December 31st next year, it'll be $8 million. In 23, the buyout is $6 million. In 24 and 25, the buyout is $2 million. In 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30, the buyout is $1 million. There is no buyout in 31. Okay? So that is, that's the deal. Okay? So it's 10 years. 10 years guaranteed $70 million. How about that? 10 years guaranteed $70 million. And then there's a retention, but I don't think I mentioned the retention bonus. The retention bonus is, so it's actually 10 years, $75 million, because the retention bonus, he gets $500,000 each year he's retained. And obviously, I mentioned all the bonuses. Okay? And the buyouts. I mentioned the buyouts. $12 million prior to April 1st of next year, $8 million prior to December 31st of next year, $6 million in 23. Then it drops to $2 million in 24 and 25. $1 million in 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. No buyout in 31. Okay? Did we cover it all for you? Hope that covers it for you. See, you wanted breaking news on the show. We gave it to you. Okay? The term of the contract runs from January 1st 2022 to December 31st, 2031. Say they're in the January 1st, 2032 bowl game. I think they'll let him coach it. Me, I just want to announce it. Oh, but 2032, I'm still here too. So there you go. Well, you wanted breaking news.
I'm just trying to keep up.
Well, we gave you breaking news. There it is. So he's agreed to a 10-year contract.
Ironically, You started reading it, and I got the info at the same time.
There you go. See? 10-year deal. Now, has he signed it? I don't know. He's agreed to it. Just has to sign it, of course. But, I mean, you know, he's talking about it, so. There you go. Saturday, by the way, will be his 100th game as Penn State's head football coach. So for the 100th time, I will do a pregame show with him. I think I'll start out the pregame show with him like that. How about that?
What do you think? The 100th time, folks.
It's you and I. No, I am. I think I'll start out that way. Well, for the 100th time, you and I are going to sit down and do a pregame show at Penn State. No, I got more games on them. I'm trying to think, what game will this be for me? For Jack, it'll be Jack and me together. 273. And then if you include my first time through and I was the third guy, that would be 361. God, no job advantage. All right, so, all right. Although, if I tell him that, that may depress him. That's the 100th time we've done a pregame show together. That may depress him. Well, there you go. But we laid out all the terms for you, all the bonuses. These are all things you've attempted to negotiate in your contract with Roger, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the 10-year deal and the airplane usage. Yeah.
Now, if you know.
He said, I could use any airplane I want at any time. He said, there's no restriction on me using an airplane.
You just have to pay for it.
Right. That would be the restriction. That would be the only restriction, yeah, if you want to call it
just,
that.
Just a guy. What about a retention bonus?
That's the longer you stay deal? Is that how that works?
In other words, at the end of the year, because you're staying, they give you, he's going to get $500,000 on December 31st each year.
I think I actually have to pay Roger a retention bonus.
Actually, that makes sense.
See, I knew you'd agree with that.
That part makes total sense to me.
I so get that.
So, there you go. You wanted breaking news on the show. We gave you breaking news on the show.
Breaking news on the show.
Like, this is why I think last week when this was brought up, I think my words were, look, just be patient a little while longer. Okay?
Like I've never heard that said by you at any time.
Yeah, but doesn't that indicate I might know something?
No. I know that. I know that from the years that I've known you and years when you and I started this thing together. Yeah, I know it. I know exactly what that means.
Just saying, if I say something like that, there's a reason why I said just be patient a little while longer. I didn't sit there and say, "Gee, I don't know, I don't know how we're doing it." That's why I said just be patient a little while longer. I think I said that in the pregame show on Saturday too. Like, just be patient a little while longer. In other words, we're almost there. There's other elements to this that will come into play that he'll talk about as time goes, and that's the element of commitment on facilities and so forth. And I've been around to a lot of these places. I pointed out to Mark. We'll have Chris Soleri later in the week, okay? I know we'd say Chris is going to be on this half hour. But this is something that I've seen other facilities. Now, what Penn State has done, the money they put in, the new locker room, great. The players' lounge, I mean, you can compete with anybody. That's fine. They're doing a lot of work on the weight room. They've really upgraded the training room, which is phenomenal. Now, what else do they need here? Okay, let's start with this. When Penn State basketball goes for training table, Peter and Ann Tombros made a donation. And when practice is over with, all they have to do is go upstairs in the Jordan Center, and they've got a film room, and they've got their training table all in the same area. And Peter and Ann are the ones that invested in that. That is phenomenal. Makes a big difference for them. When football is training table, they have to go down out of Lash. They have to go across the street, up the hill, and go over to Pollock to do it. Now, it doesn't sound like it's a big deal, except, let's face it, training table is part of your training. And you need to keep a better idea of where everybody is. So since basketball, for men's and women's, the Lady Lions, the same thing. Lady Lions have their training table, film room, the whole thing all right there. Football, all right, I believe that they would like to idealistically take a part of Greenberg, which, of course, is attached to Lash. Now, the old Greenberg, part of it's now Morgan Academic Center. But they want to put a training table, make a training table in there. Now you can really get a gauge as to, like, who's skipping breakfast, who's not there for training. In other words, you can really, it's right there. There's no excuse to go over. This Penn State, the nutrition bar they put in, is fabulous. What they've done in the weight room, great. They're going to do more now with that. Okay. What they did with the locker room and the auditorium, fabulous. What they did with the players' lounge, great. But the training table part, I think, is a key component that has to be added into this. And the convenience of it by having it right there within the complex, very, very important. They've done a good job of dressing up Huluba as much as they can. And Huluba is an extremely functional facility. But I've seen other indoor facilities along the way. I mean, we're talking about, obviously, now SiriusXM wants me on tomorrow morning. Says they want to talk about you.
I think if I were you, I would take that right now and make sure you get on with them. This is going to be a great conversation.
You're a national figure. You don't know what it's like for me to work with you.
I know.
Well, don't brag. It's an old Joe line I saw many times. He'd say something, Joe said, "Hey, look, Steve, don't brag." It's like, even though he knows you're kidding. Yeah. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So James Franklin has agreed to a 10-year agreement with Penn State to coach through the 2031 season. We outlined everything in there from bonuses, Oh, you worked with Charlie Fisher on Saturday.
Yeah, I worked with Charlie.
What the greatest!
I sent
guys.
You that over the break. Is that, did it finally get to you?
Well, no, it was something else I was reading. I worked with Charlie Fisher on Saturday. I've got another show coming up tonight.
Oh, 6:05 yeah, I forgot. To 7. I forgot about that one.
So,
yes, I worked with him on Saturday at the Bucknell Holy Cross game.
He is one of the greatest guys ever.
Awesome.
Can't say enough good things about Charlie. Good man. So a 10-year agreement, James Franklin has agreed to it. 10 years. This is the stability people have been looking for. We went through everything from the bonuses to the buyouts, everything. What the annual compensation is. What the additional compensation is, everything that goes with it. Look, the money is not dramatically different than what he's getting now, okay? But you've got to be able to, along the way, ask yourself, as I said to Mark, what are you competing for? Are you competing for a bowl game? Are you competing for a division title? Are you competing for a conference title? Are you competing for the whole thing? Are you in the league that, you know, and I mean league, I'm talking about nationally, that competes for the whole thing? People want you to compete for the whole thing. And that's what he wants. He wants to have everything at his disposal like other programs do, and he's been able to get more. Let's be honest. He's been able to get more. But, you know, you want to make sure that no stone is left unturned. You know, I mentioned the training table part. Training table part is going to be, I think, a key component in this. Assistant coaches' salaries, also very important in this. Just is. Like, football makes the whole thing run when it comes to athletics here. Men's basketball does its job because it's a program that financially is in the black. So that means that they can help pay for other programs that are in the red. Maybe a couple of others they can do that with. But football takes care of all the rest. And you make money off football. In Penn State this year, it was phenomenal to have fans back. You're talking about over 106,000 fans a game. You know, at least 100. How about this? 106,000 tickets per game. Obviously, the Rutgers game, there weren't 106,000 people there. But they sold 106,000 tickets. And what people have been, look, Penn State fans are used to stability. When one guy is your head football coach for 46 years, you're used to stability. I mean, the station thinks it's a big deal. I've been here 10. There's one person that has regrets.
No regrets.
It didn't sound sincere.
Yeah, I tried. Not really well, but I tried.
Minimal effort. All right, Chris Soleri tomorrow on Michigan State. Jack Ham, Dick Girardi on Friday. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Back in an hour with the Coaches Show.